They say change is good, but in these remakes, that's not the case.
And they often say that remakes are bad, and these remakes are going to prove that that point is good. All that and more right now on Movie Mount Rushmore.
Hey screeners, how you doing? It's me, the one AJ, Anthony Jordan.
And me, Nico Luro, and we are back once again like a renegade master to bring you the latest edition of Movie Mount Rushmore, the UK's favourite and most unheard of movie podcast. Shall we talk some movies, AJ?
We shall indeed. But before we do, would you like to tell everyone what the show is all about?
Yes, basically it's a weekly top 10 review, mini review show between two best friends from school. Here's how the show actually works. AJ and I each get assigned a topic, we go our separate ways, we come right back here into recording and deliver to you, the silver screen dudes, our film familia, our individual top 10s. This week I will go first delivering my bottom three. Why? Because white privilege. I'm just kidding.
I said it.
AJ will then deliver his bottom three. If you're following us on TikTok, you'll know what that joke was about because we're getting a lot of unnecessary hate on there. I will then deliver my next two. AJ will deliver his next two. And then when we get to our top five, we will trade one apiece. If at any time while we are rounding off our individual top 10 list, when one person has a movie in a higher position, that person will say,
"Oh, sorry. Oh my God. That was out of place." Punt.
That person will say, "Oh, sorry." And we will punt and talk about that movie when we get to the higher position. Once we have both rounded off our individual top 10 lists, we will create, in the voice of Chandler Bing, the movie Mount Rushmore. These are the four quintessential, diverse, must-see movies of the genre, which this week is title above.
Top 10 worst changes to movie remakes. Yes, guys. Yes. But what happens after that? We, the Silver Screen Dudes, will create the four must-see movies, but it's on to you, the screeners, to crown El Capitan, Il Numero Uno, the best of the best of the best, with honors, sir. Sir, with honors. And in the words, to quote Highlander, in the end, there can be only one. And how do you do that? You head on over to at Movie Polls for You or at Movie MT Rushmore, the official Twitter page or X page of Silver Screen Dudes, and that's where you will get to crown the winner. Last week, our topic was...
Last week, our topic was the top 10 classic Disney animated movies.
And our contenders were?
All the big hitters. We had The Lion King, Alice in Wonderland, Aladdin, and Beauty and the Beast. There was no four. There was a joint two.
Joint two, so it's not even a three. Okay, interesting.
No, it was, well, you can look at it that way, I suppose. So 4-2-2-1.
Okay, in that sense. Okay, so 3-2-2-1. Alice in Wonderland.
Yes, Alice in Wonderland finished fourth with 14%.
Okay, cool. So a joint two.
Come on, it's easy.
I mean, okay, the way you said that.
Pick the obvious.
I'm going to go Aladdin and Beauty and the Beast.
Correct. Aladdin and Beauty and the Beast both finished two with 23%. Bloody Lion King stormed it, man. 40% for the Lion King. It's crazy.
There you go. He couldn't wait to be king, and there you are. There you are, Simba. You've done it, son. You are the best Disney animated classic movie. Okay.
So for this week, the top 10 worst changes to movie remakes, I would like to start off by prefacing that I'm not necessarily picking movies that are bad, although some of them really are bad, but I'm picking... There's one or two cases where the movies are actually passable to veering towards good, but it's like you did one change which was stupid and unnecessary, and that's the change I'm going to hone in on now. And in at number 10 is a movie that I will... continuously defend until the cows come home. I do not care. I really, really like this movie. But they made a change which personally didn't bother me, but it contradicted the title of the movie. And my number 10 is The Karate Kid, which was actually Kung Fu.
So here's the thing, and I'm going to be like blatantly honest, it was my number 10.
Yes.
Because I saw the outrage behind it. Now, point one to it is I've not seen the original Karate Kid. I've seen the Hilary Swank Karate Kid. So I think that Karate Kid 3.
Karate Kid 3.
Furthermore, and this is where I'm going to put the hands up of ignorance and apology, and I'm so glad it's on your list because I wanted to be honest to everyone. I thought karate was a form of kung fu, so I'm not too sure what the outcome
Mate, there's nothing to apologize for. If you're not well versed in martial arts, why would you know?
is. Yeah, so I was like hoping, like, I was going to put it out, and I'm like, I don't understand, but I understand the outrage, and it was going to be number 10. Then something else kind of kicked in, and that's
Karate,
why.
Japanese, kung fu, Chinese.
Oh, okay.
Karate, kung fu.
I
Simple
get
as that.
that, I get that, but I just was aware that there were like multiple martial arts, and I, well, yeah,
Yeah,
so
these two
martial
have got
arts.
nothing to do with each other. Like, there are different variations of kung fu, like Shaolin, Wing Chun, Kundo. There's loads of them, but the karate also has got variations. You know, Kyokushin being one of the most popular. We're not here for a martial arts thing. This is a good movie. I won't hear otherwise. It wasn't even about karate. Boring soundbite, annoyingly, is correct. But it hit the same beats as the original movie. And I thought it was really charming. I thought the relationship between Jaden Smith and Jackie was fantastic. I really, really bought into their kind of mental protege dynamic. And I liked it. I'd say I liked it nearly as much as the original. I have a real soft spot for this movie. It's a barrel of fun. Come at me, I don't care. Karate Kid is a good film. Should have been called the Kung Fu Kid, though.
But that would have been it. That would have been it. It could even be seen as a remake, but you're being taught Kung Fu, and with that, you move forward, you know? And it would have been a remake that you acknowledged. So I wish I could go deeper. I enjoyed the film as well. And I was like, oh, I really wish I'd seen the others. That's what's kind of hit
And
my
it
head.
was just a marketing thing at the end of the day. Like, they called it the Karate Kid because it's an IP that people know. And guess what? People put money towards IPs that they're familiar with because people are afraid to watch original movies. Fact. My number nine. Weird one, this. It's from the Psycho remake. This old chestnut here with
Yeah.
Vince and Anne Hesh. It is Anne Hesh. Yes, Anne Hesh. Dude, this is a frame for frame remake of the Hitchcock version, minus one little thing they put in, and it's like, why? And it's the peephole scene, which is in the Hitchcock version, where he moves a painting and looks through the peephole, but in this Gus Van Sant remake, Norman Bates thinks, oh, while looking, I'm just gonna knock one out. I'm going to go flog the dolphin, spank the monkey, say hello to the one-eyed purple yogurt slinger. Like, I'm going to jizz on the wall. Like, okay. Does it add anything to the character? Nope. Does it advance the plot? Nope. Does it reframe the movie in any way? Nope. What was the point of this?
I believe they were trying to show the level of perversion of Norman, but there are deeper levels to the character than that.
Wank wank, literally.
It is that, but I suppose it'd be like, oh my God. I think it's just for shock value of, oh my God, he's that disturbing. Oh my, this is not the motel you want to be in. And
Seriously, if that's the argument for a guy who's keeping his dead mother in the basement of his house and who's going to dress up as her, we don't need her to see him knocking one
But
out.
this is the thing, is when you think he's got the shock value, it gets deeper. That's the only kind of defense I've got. Don't get me wrong, I get it. It's one that had kind of crossed my mind, and I was like,
Your defense is
it's
about
a
as
film for
messy
me.
as his remains on the wall.
Yeah.
It's it was so unnecessary. I mean, the movie felt completely soulless, and that just was an unnecessary addition to it. I didn't get it. Anyway, moving on. My number eight. From a franchise that a lot of people love, it's a horror franchise, not one that I've ever been crazy about, though I appreciate, especially part one, I appreciate the iconicity of it, and I appreciate the iconicity of arguably the greatest horror character ever created, arguably. Freddy Krueger. So this is the Nightmare on Elm Street remake, which was annoying because they had Jackie Earle Haley playing Freddy Krueger, which for me is like perfect casting.
The voice is creepy.
Why did they change his face?
Yeah.
Look at this image. Like, here's Freddy on the left. Looks creepy, burnt out mask. And for Jackie Earle Haley, for some reason, they decided to go with this CGI face, CGI adding on over
the makeup. Yeah.
Over very, very poor makeup compared to the original. I was like, this is so poor. You've got such a good actor here to play Freddy, and he's not scary. Like, why change the face? When something is perfect, keep it perfect. Freddy Krueger, a burnt demon, was perfect.
I think it's trying to do that, put your own stamp on it. But again, and it's this reliance on CG. Guys, sometimes practical wins. And this is the proof. I can't disagree with you on that.
Pick your battles, man. Like, reinvent Nightmare on Elm Street. Keep some of the similar plot beats, but reinvent the movie as a whole. All for that. Doing a frame-for-frame, almost a frame-for-frame remake. At least the horror scares, you know, the hand coming out. The bath, the arms extending, the wall kind of caving in on her, the bed swallowing her. Like, it hit the same scary beats, but the face was just like, you're number 10.
Right, my number 10 was going to be Karate Kid as well. And then I, as I said, felt cheap. I felt wrong for doing that. And then I'm going to come to a film that is a bit of a guilty pleasure to me.
Are you calling me cheap? Sorry, can we just gloss over that one?
No, to me it was, because I wasn't aware of the difference. So I was going to be like, it was there, but it wasn't there. Okay. I understand the difference now in what you're doing. This is a guilty pleasure movie for me because I thought it was cool and it felt like the hype, but it was also because I was not familiar with the character. So my number 10 is Godzilla.
Punt.
Okay, we'll leave it there. Okay, cool. In at number 9, I don't know if this is, again, great movie, but this is just a personal grudge that I had with it. And my number 9 is the live action Jungle Book.
You've gone down that route, eh? Interesting. I have.
Now, I really enjoyed this film. I think everything that they've done with it was amazing. However, there is a couple of points that bugged me. One, it kind of just lacked the joy that the original Jungle Book had. And one of those particularly that really stung me and hurt me was the fact that they removed...
Say it.
Say what?
What you're going to say, because I agree with you.
The military march, the elephants parade. The elephants just literally walked past and that was it. Then you've also got King Louis. Christopher Walken was good, but he wasn't great. And I just felt that the musical, the great hits of the Jungle Book were lost in this film. The energy's there. Bill Murray does a great Baloo, but it's just not enough to give you that Jungle Book feel-good feeling that you want to get when you leave watching the Jungle Book movie. That's why it went in there for me.
My two big ones are the Jungle Book. Well, what they... I think what you... I never even considered the elephants, but I think the elephants are more important to you than to me.
It was. It really happened.
I didn't really get over how badly they butchered King Louis. When, again, I thought they had perfect casting with... I'm the king, you know? It's like, you had perfect casting with Walken there. What they did to Carr.
Yeah, Carr. All of them, I felt... Do you know what? Even down to, like, the buzzards. Even the ending. Mowgli's ending isn't to just be as it was. You know, he doesn't stay in the jungle. That ending is a bit twisted, but you can go, you know... Give or take on that, but the energy of the characters was definitely missing.
Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, I am going to be a bit harsh on Disney this week, and that comes in with my number 8. I will give it a bit of depth to you later. I'll give you the credit for it, unless you say punt. And my number 8 is Beauty and the Beast.
Gaston?
Yeah. I listened to what you said last week of how he was someone whose biggest crime was just wanting to get the girl. He was manipulative and he wanted to put the old man in the bin.
Which man isn't manipulative when he's after some pussy? Oh, shouldn't have said that. When he's after some for JJ.
There we are. So he was manipulative, but he was arrogant with it. Now, as you said, it evolves later on into a bigger villain. Here, we've gone from just a bit of a manipulative man to a full-on cold-hearted murderer at the beginning of the film. So anything that goes on later on isn't as deep, because this man was willing to kill another man just to get with his daughter. Now, you could be a bit hungry for a bit of the poontang pie. However, you're not going to kill her dad for it, bro. And that's the thing. You tie a man to a tree and hope the wolves get to him. Bro, you are the beast before we've even seen the beast.
This is it. I mean?
And that's a killer for it. So the rest of the film goes and it goes. I was not a fan of how the beast looked. I did very much prefer the animation, but CG can only do what CG can do on that front. That's just a personal dig for me. Also, Mrs. Potts was framed wrong and Chip's chip was in the wrong place. Those are small tickles.
Bring up the image again. I think because the beast didn't work for me either, and I think I figured out why. Look at the horns. Why the horns back?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a weird change. Why didn't you just keep the horns to the front?
That was part of it, you know. But the main part, and I give it credit to you, because I could go on to the minor character pieces of how Chip looked, how Mrs. Potts looked. Lumiere was great. Hollange was great. But the beast and what have you, those were parts. But it was Gaston's character. He's too evil in the beginning that I'm not to be... Where, you know, essentially, you kind of understand Gaston getting the whole village to be and back him because of what it is. This is a beast, but we're looking at a man who's willing to kill another man. We knew you were a wrong'un before, but to be a straight-up murderer, I can't back you later on. Even though you're like, I don't like him in the other one, you're like, but I get it. There's a beast out there. He's misinformed. Here, I can't back you like that. You're a killer. And we've not seen the beast do anything wrong apart from being a bit grumpy.
They completely betrayed what the essence of Gaston was. It upset me greatly.
Cool.
That was your eight, yeah?
Yep.
Alrighty then. My number seven, AJ. Abraham Lincoln from the Tim Burton plan.
That is a pun.
Oh, good. Very good. My number six was the pun from earlier. That would be Godzilla.
Cool.
Godzilla. What did this? Oh, this annoyed me. Me so much.
Can I be slightly advantageous on this?
Well, go.
Say what you're going to say, and then I'll do what I'm about to do.
This is a T-Rex. It's a misformed T-Rex that they gave me in this movie. Please.
I've just slapped this together.
Yes.
You've got 1954, and you've got the 2014, and in the middle is 1998's Godzilla. He was a T-Rex. Godzilla was a T-Rex. And that was wrong. That was wrong. I'll let you continue and then I'll follow up.
Why? This Godzilla is meant to be an allegory for nuclear war, hence the plasma breath, hence the total destruction of Japan, which is where he normally goes. And in some case, you know, in the 54 version, Godzilla, bad. In the 2014 version, Godzilla was more like the cartoon TV show, which I really liked, you know, Godzilla and Godzuki and all that. Godzilla, good guy. Still an allegory for nuclear war, but Godzilla, good guy, coming to beat up the Mutos, coming to beat up the other kaijus. So cool. Let them fight. Then you got this thing that eats fish. And lays eggs. I'm like,
he became a she, which isn't a problem. We're all for gender.
I'm fine with that. And I'm fine with you teasing little Godzuki at the end of the movie. I'm cool with that too. Not that we ever got a follow up to it. First time I watched Godzilla, the 98 version, I enjoyed it because I'd seen Jurassic Park 4 years earlier or 5 years earlier. So it was like, oh, yeah, big dinosaur. And then it was only after a few viewings, I was like, blah, 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 blah. This isn't a dinosaur movie. What the hell? What am I watching?
This is why I say it's a guilty pleasure, because I had watched it without being overly informed on Godzilla. So I was like, I've seen Godzilla and it's like, I just believe Godzilla was another form of dinosaur. You know, that's how I understood it to be. I then see the 2014 version. I'm like, hold on, this is a different look. This is, and you know, it's the small differences. Yes, it could still somewhat look like a dinosaur, but he doesn't arch like a T-Rex. Godzilla's more upright. Thicker body build, and then there's the powers that come with it, and you're like, ooh, is this Godzilla then? Yeah. You know, you shouldn't have to be informed from a cartoon or another movie as to what it was. And that's the thing. Like, it was, we were very much in dinosaur hype when it came out. And that's why, to me, I've seen it once and I was like, well, this was kind of cool. You know, and you had John Renault, you had Matthew Broderick, I'd just seen from Cable Guy. It had all the hits for me. You had everyone for me to be like, this is pretty decent. But then I look back, and that's why I'm like, I don't want to hate on it because I had good fun and I was miseducated. But when you break it down to being Godzilla, it's kind of like The Karate Kid. You're a good film, you're just not Godzilla.
Where was the plasma breath?
That's it. You're not Godzilla. You're just a different dinosaur movie. But you can't qualify for a dinosaur movie because you've labeled it wrong.
That 2014 moment where Godzilla's in the smoke and you just see his tail retract into the smoke, and then within the smoke you just see, and you see his scales lighting up. I'm like, I still remember sitting next to Anya, grabbing her, and she was like, what's about to happen? I'm like, I didn't even answer. I was just having my own experience. I was like, no, they're not.
I'm going to call that my wonder moment in Endgame. That's what I'm going to call that. Like, those moments where you're like, yes, I finally see it.
Yeah. Legit that. So that was the pump from earlier, my number six. So your number seven.
Right. My number seven, to me, was a classic comedy with Kurt Russell and Goldie Hawn. Much love to Anna Faris. I don't actually know Eugenio De Beres, but Overboard, the remake, was absolutely terrible. Now, it's not that it's a role reversal. Have you ever seen Overboard?
Neither the original nor the remake.
Okay, so the story is, I'll go with the original. Kurt Russell he lives in a small, like, very North Carolina, Florida. You get the idea of what I'm saying. It's a very foresty type area. And Goldie Hawn's boat happens to be in this area. But she's very uptown New York kind of person. She's a socialite. He is just a carpenter who builds a drawer. They have an argument. She doesn't pay him. And he vows revenge. She falls off the boat, gets amnesia, and he convinces the hospital that this is his long-lost wife, and he puts her through absolute torture because of what she's done. And she has to, like, babysit his kids, and he just treats her like absolute trash. Great comedy. Now, what they've done with this film is they've role-reversed it, where Anna Faris is the rural mum, and this guy is some rich socialite who's got, like, a Hispanic background, as you can see. And she's now meant to make him be the same role as Goldie Hawn was. This is the male socialite trying to play. So this very pompous, you know, made in Chelsea type guy is now having to suffer and look after her kids. And I'm not opposed to him being a house husband. It just didn't have the magic. It just wasn't the gold that it was. And it's not the role reversal. It's the way they portrayed the characters. And it just didn't match. And in a way, to have... You know, and I'm not knocking maternal instinct versus paternal instinct, but there was something warming about this woman who was literally all about self, becoming, I don't want to get into spoiler territory, but this kind of gets into it, becoming more motherly. Whereas this one, you just couldn't buy into this guy trying to be it. He just didn't do the pompous the same way and the confused the same way that Goldie Hawn did. It just didn't work. Just did not work. I would highly encourage you to see the original Overboard. You can miss this one like nobody's business.
Sounds fun, to be honest, the original.
Oh, it's awesome. Overboard is all kinds of great.
I'll check it out.
Yeah, so that was my number seven. In at number six, this is the first of two hits for me. Coincidentally, it's linked to our number three in last week's poll. Yes, I am talking about Alice in Wonderland. There we go. Now, the poster pretty much sums it up for me quite a bit. I feel that there are many characters who were misrepresented. The Caterpillar, who I love, Tweedledee and Tweedledum, as much as they're these small little annoying prats, they're these monsters in this version. Like, Burton just went a bit too out there.
Yeah, what happened to that?
Yeah, everything just felt wrong. And then it comes to Johnny Depp, the double hitter for me today. And it just felt that the Mad Hatter was meant to be mad. What I'm looking for from the Mad Hatter is Jim Carrey. Dare I even say, I'd even accept Will Ferrell. What you gave me was this idea
of Williams.
Naturally, but do you see what I'm saying? I could even accept Will Ferrell. Robin Williams would have been awesome. Jim Carrey would have been awesome. What Johnny
Steve Carell.
Yes. Yes, I think he could have given it to us. Just give me Wacky. What you gave me was a wacky dance that was the kids to go for, the wackadoodle crack. I can't even remember what it was called, but it was a stupid name, but there's a body contorting in ways that it's meant to be. He gets dark when he's not meant to. You're just meant to see the Mad Hatter. Like, he also became more instrumental than he needed to be. And I understand, tell the story the way you wish to, but it just didn't hit the beat. I need to see a wacky Mad Hatter. And yeah, you had him bouncing all over the place. But then he got really dark, and it just didn't give me the emotions of Alice in Wonderland. I admit, it was missing. It was just missing.
Twas not a good movie, that one.
No. I mean, how they made Through the Looking Glass as well, I don't know, because I just didn't appreciate it first.
No. Correct. All right, yeah. Look, I agree with everything you've said so far, minus Overboard, obviously, which I can't comment on. All right. Over to my number five.
Yep.
The remake, the Spike Lee remake of a Korean classic, the remake of Old Boy.
That's my friend, is a minor punt. It's a punt.
Minor punt. Your number five.
Right, as I said, it's a double hitter, and it's Johnny once again, and this time as Willy Wonka, Charlie and the Chocolate.
That's a punt. Punt.
Okay, we're back. Over to you. Okay, so we're in one of peace territory. So over to you.
All right, my number four. Listen, it's a movie. I don't bring it up often, but when I do bring it up, I laud it. The Clash of the Titans remake. I've got such, yes, the original has aged horribly. The original is an instance of even practical effects age really, really, really badly when they're like from the 50s and 60s.
Let's be honest, this is the same era as the Godzilla. Like, it's claymation. It's claymation for villains.
It's claymation. But I've got such a soft spot for this, for the original. It was one of those movies I remember. It might be due to this, because growing up, you know, when you had TNT, you know, you'd watch your WCWs on Friday nights or whatever, and then after it would turn over, it would revert back to being TNT movies, right? And it seems like every month after WCW, I'd be a, you know, little kid, crawl up into my grandmother's bed, and this would play. And I got such a kick out of Perseus's adventure of hunting down the Gorgon, you know, Medusa, of saving Andromeda, of slaying the Kraken. It was such a great adventure, but despite its grandiose like story and epic story, it was still very character driven. You know, there were really good moments between all the characters in this story, and that was just thrown to dogs. And this, they decided like, no, we need to be bigger than Troy, bigger than Gladiator, bigger than Lord of the Rings. We need to play with the gods of Olympus. Cast Liam Neeson as Zeus and Ralph Fiennes as Hades. I'm like, why the fuck do the gods need to be in this? Sorry. Why do the gods need to be in this movie? Seriously. They're not part of it. You can play around with them having an involvement with Andromeda a bit, but for them to have such a key role, it wasn't just the fact that the character relationships were completely thrown to the wind. It was this silly, silly, stupid change of plot and this overemphasis on the gods being so involved with Perseus. I was like, nah, to quote
I've
you,
not seen the original. Dead
that.
I've not seen the original. So this is, the story you're saying makes me really intrigued to watch it though. I'm really up for it, because that it's sounds so like good. The Greek mythology journey.
Now you watch it and you forgive it for its poor effects, because it's such a good story.
That's mad. That's sad. That is actually really sad.
And it's one of those where, you know how we've been like throwing shade at some of the movies on this list, which have been like frame for frame, like Psycho. I'm like frame for frame remake, soulless. Jungle Book did some frame for frame and the stuff it deviated from wasn't good. This was just like, you've got such a perfect movie in Clash of the Titans. Literally, copy it. Just add some modern glitz to it, and you're good. Make the Kraken not look like claymation. Make the Scorpions not look like claymation, and we're good.
Oh, in a world where you could create a Godzilla.
You wanted to go hardcore with the Scorpions. Oh, no, okay. You are. So this, it's little things like this. The way the Scorpions became like monster Scorpions in the original is after he's killed Medusa, Medusa's blood ends up on the scorpions and they go and they get big. In this, they haven't even reached Medusa yet. They're on their adventure to go and kill Medusa and just big scorpions show up. Why? Well, reasons, because there's big scorpions. But why? Well, it's just big scorpions, isn't it? Why? Nothing had a purpose or reason in this. It's like the gods are sending them after us. Man, shut up. It's not the real big scorpions. What are you doing to me? And it was just one thing after another like that, where it's like, yeah, cool. The original had big scorpions. This had big scorpions. You're giving me the same things, but the way they're coming on screen is like, nah.
There's reason. You need reason behind the beats. It's not just throw it in there because it's in there.
Otherwise, it is. Ba-ba-da-ba.
Visual noise?
Hey.
There you go. Your number okay. four. My number four was the punt from earlier.
Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah. No, like, there's one thing we've got to be very honest about. Where, like, this scared me. I hadn't even seen this film at the time. But having heard of the trashing of it, it made me scared to watch Rise, Dawn, and everything else. Mm-hmm. Because I thought they were linked. And I was like, how did they make a sequel to a film that's been panned so badly? But here's the thing. The whole element of Planet of the Apes is Earth has been taken over by the apes. He is on a journey to be like, oh, it, to quote The Simpsons, oh my God, it was Earth all along. That musical is one of the classic moments when they go to watch Planet of the Apes, the musical. But here we are, that now the apes have beat him back home and they've created a statue of Abraham Lincoln, but it's an ape. Like, so it doesn't even make sense now. It doesn't. The logic behind it is now gone. It's, oh my God, I'm trying to fight to get home. I've been home the whole time. Now it's, so where was I? Where am I going? What the heck? Oh, they beat me home. They've taken over my planet. So now the apes have got two planets. No, it just doesn't. It doesn't. Going back to what you said, visual noise, and it was an ending without explanation. Look at it, and that's it. And now we've got ape police coming to pick me up. Okay, cool. But why?
You've got
your own planet. What did you need from mine? It's just lacking logic now. The logic was you want to get home. You were home all along.
It completely lacked logic. You know, the original is such a like wow ending. God damn you all to hell. You know, Charlton Heston literally slamming his fists into the sandy, salty shores as he looks at a destroyed Statue of Liberty and the reality dawns on him that he is home and they've just suffered a nuclear holocaust or something, hence big apes, nuclear apes. Here it's like, so you're going back to your world / back in time, but then you're trying to make me think that either the apes have followed you or you're in a multiverse or like, I don't know. And you know why I don't know? Because you don't know.
Yeah. It was like, let's have a clever spin and that would be it. Okay. The apes are taking it. I can't even joke about it because the lack of logic is there for me to be able to go. It's like, oh, well, that's different to the end. Okay.
So dumb. Three Tim Burton movies on your list. Wowza.
Yeah, I know. It's tough, but it's real. It's real. Disney took a bit of a battering from me as well, but it is what it is.
Aye, aye. So that was okay. Your fourth of my three, yeah?
Yep.
Alrighty then. Well, you said Disney. I'm going to give Disney a battering now because, look, it's the Lion King, dude. I've got to throw shade at the Lion King on the simple basis that it was soulless. And how can something, which we literally did the top 10 Disney animated movies last week, literally last week, everyone, 40% of people in a poll that included Aladdin and Beauty and the Beast, 40% of people still said Lion King is the king of Disney animation. And yeah, I see that. So how, when you've remade it frame for frame, how is it soulless? Well, it's very simple. Because while making everything photoreal, not live action, while making everything photoreal, you forgot to add any animation to the characters' faces. which means you've got a little real photo reel lion going, "Dad, get up, we got to go home." But because there's no emotion on your face, I'm not feeling this death at all.
Yeah. I get it. To me, it had a bit more energy than the others, but it still lacks. And this is the problem. You know, it's like when I talked about going to see The Little Mermaid. I'm like, the characters aren't going to have the emotion. What the beauty of animation is, eyes can pop out of their faces. You know, eyebrows touching the ceiling. Yeah, it's bits like that. And when you want to go into a live action / photo reel, because you want to be so close to reality as possible, you're going to lose emotion. You're going to lose those parts that you can, because you've never seen a lion smile. It's just fact. You know what I mean? And these are the parts that you're going to miss out and lose. So I get it. I totally get it.
Yeah, not for me, that one. You're number three.
You're right. It comes back to it. It's the other punt. Old Boy.
The ending, right?
Yeah. Like, you can't... I understand that Hollywood always likes to give a happy ending. And in such a twisted story, the best thing a man can do is set her free. But it doesn't give, and I don't want to say such a twisted story that the Korean version has, but the beauty of the ending is you don't know which way he's gone. Did he or did he not? Like, what is he doing? Oh, my days. Has he become the villain for his own personal gain? You know, there was so much in it, whereas this one, it's just like, yeah, just ride off into the sunset in our separate ways, and this is why we can't be.
And I'll send my daughter a note. It's like,
yeah.
Oh, weak. Oh, so weak.
It just isn't the same. It's not the same. It's not the essence of the story, because the essence of the story is not just the revenge, the world's biggest revenge plot. It's how do you act based on that revenge now that everything's been revealed. You know, it's not the beats of, yes, the hallways means a lot. Yes, the cutting of the tongue means a lot. But that ending has a lot of weight to it, and you can't just change it. You can't.
Yeah. And you certainly can't drip feed your audience the answer. That it's so strange for me, because I've always felt Spike Lee is one of those directors who trusts his audience to be intelligent enough to understand what they're being told. This to me smelt of a director who did not trust his audience to get the ending of Old Boy, so he gave them a very vanilla, easy to understand ending. That was sad.
Yeah.
That was your three, yeah?
Your number two.
Oh. This isn't going to be on your list because I don't think you care for the action movie, the original action movie, as much as I do. But I'm talking about the remake of Total Recall. Now, this annoyed me so fundamentally to my core, because one, they got the chronology all mixed up. Like, the movie literally picks up halfway through the story of the original, and you're trying to piece it back together, back and forth, right? So I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. You haven't established who this character is. You haven't established what his motivations are. You haven't established what his big dream is. In the original, is get your ass to Mars, you know, which is perfect because he went to Recall to get his mind implanted with a little sexy holiday secret agent vacation where he goes to Mars, right? And there's very clever hints that original movie is cleverer than people realize. Well, some people realize. You know, there's that line when he's gone to Recall and they're wiping his brain. Well, not wiping his brain, but adding the memory to his brain. And what is it? That scientist just leans over and goes, "Oh, blue skies on Mars. He's going to have a great time." And then what happens at the end of the movie? Blue skies on Mars. Yeah. Dum, dum, dum. He's still in Recall, right? But his big thing, even before going to Recall in the original movie, is I want to go to Mars. Yes? So by saying, I want to go to Mars, with that sentence, what have you done? You've set up a world in which space travel is possible. Sharon Stone is like, I want to go to Venus. So it's like, oh, so lots of space travel is possible. So we're very, very, very advanced. Just these little things establish the world so beautifully. It's like, I understand what's going on. I understand how far ahead in the future we are. I understand that there's a lot of possibilities here, given that you can just take a holiday to Mars for shiggles. Do you know where they went in this movie, AJ?
Australia.
Because what's better than Mars? The outback. Let's
get you want to see some Kangas? Come on, stop it.
I thought you said the red Earth, not the red planet. Crikey. Oh, we got that all wrong. Yeah, you did. Australia? Really?
Yeah. It's been a long time since I've seen the original Recall, and I've not seen the new one, hence what, but I heard
avoid,
about it. So
avoid. Dead your completionist thing. Avoid like the plague.
Yeah.
No, it is a movie what MJF called Roderick Strong. It's like, hello, generic white guy. It's like, hello, generic action movie.
Okay. No, I probably will avoid. I want to refresh and Recall, to be honest.
Yeah, do that. If you wanted to watch a Recall, rewatch the Arnie one. It's one of his best. It's so good.
No. I remember having great fun with it. But yeah, need to watch it again. Very young.
Your number two.
My number two, bro, you knew this was going to come up for me. You know this is going to come
up. What we got?
There's no way it wasn't going to come up. Taxi.
Oh,
there was no way.
I've seen it, thankfully. So,
oh, come to la chance.
Hey,
how are you kind of lucky?
You're seeing it with that.
This film just lost the essence of Taxi. Now, I have spoken to friends, like we anyone who knows original Rushmore knows how much this means to us.
Yes,
specifically me. I have a friend who has seen the French version in Hungarian, and I even said to her, "Listen, what you're seeing is good, but there was magic in the words behind certain things because of the French lingo. You know, this is more Taxi too, but like couleur, konnichiwa, you know, konnichiwa. Now you can't translate that because gherkin is it's being mispronounced with a French word based on a Japanese word. Now that's all of that, and these are the magics that you will find in the Taxi collection. Now I don't care that you've taken a woman instead of the ever amazing Daniel. That's all kinds of cool. Even having Queen Latifah look like the ultimate BMX rider at the beginning of the film, I would also accept. Bro, just watch the intro. You're like, that's not her. Anyway,
that's not how physics works, yes.
But what comes next is just, it lost not only the magic, but even down to your villains. They had, I believe, like Giselle and a load of like the Brazilian models to come out. And it was like these hot models who were the ultimate capers. And this is how the guy is now going to learn to drive.
What happened to the Germans?
It wasn't there. But I get it. You can take different things because it's not Europe, it's America. So let's use Brazilians instead of that. There are certain elements you could do it, but it was meant to be menacing villains, people that you have to actually stop. They got into this whole thing where, you know, like he can recruit his people before. It was weird, like pizza driver. It just didn't work. It just didn't have the intensity of Taxi. It didn't hit the beat the way it does. It's not just because, oh, you don't get the French punchline jokes that I hated this film. It just didn't become Taxi. It was just someone who was really good with cars. But you didn't even get the car stunts the way you did in the original. You know, that the way he drives and the person puking, it didn't hit the same. The film just could not hit. It was just wrong. And it was like, oh, these sexy models that he wants to fall for. You know, like Petra in the film is the unattainable
character.
Yeah. It's like a crew of villains are like that. So he kind of falls for it, but doesn't, you know, and it was weak. It is wrong. It is not to be seen. I encourage it. And I've always said it. If you're going to watch a Taxi, just get the subtitles, even do a dubbed if you have to, but don't watch the Queen Latifah, because it's an amazing, amazing quality one that's come out of France. No, Taxi is not to be seen. Not to be seen.
Cool. So I do have a worst, which I guess in our language this week translates as the best change. Do you have one?
No, I kind of toyed with, and then I was like, I'll just leave it. Like,
maybe I got you. And I know you're going to agree with me. 100% you're going to agree with me. You take a fantastic, fantastic gangster movie from the Howard Hawks 30s era of movie making, and you reimagine it, a Brian De Palma directed Al Pacino smashathon, and you change
a New York
gangster to a Cuban gangster. Hell yeah. Tony Montana in Scarface is the greatest change to a remake. Come at me.
I can't argue. I've not seen the original, so I can't. I remember you saying it's really good. I've just had a chance to go back to it, but Tony Montana.
Risingly brutal, by the way.
Really?
Whoa! Like Howard Hawks was like the whole opening, which is like, you know, it was before the RICO ban came in. You know, it's before they had indicted all of the New York crime families. So crime was like crazy in New York at that time. And it was a real like power fueled message Hawks is getting across, going, I'm not going to hold back. I'm going to show you how bad these people really are. I was like, boy, this is a 30s movie. What am I watching?
Nice.
This belongs in the 90s with this violence.
Okay. It's on my list. It's on my list of things I need to see.
So. Dude, it's excellent. It's so good.
I look forward to that. I do look forward to that. But yeah, Tony Montana, that's a big movie. That's a big boy movie. Many people's favorite movie, and I understand why. So yeah, I could work with that. That's a good
also movie. Becoming popular to hate on, which I'm like, just take your day off.
I don't have energy to even discuss why. We're doing good on time today, and I'm not gonna go off on a tangent that I
can't. So my number one, yes?
Please, sir.
The punt from earlier. Why did you change subdued but punchy, wacky but calm, colorful but angry Gene Wilder into flamboyant squeak boy Johnny Depp's Willy Wonka? What were you thinking, Tim Burton?
It just doesn't work. It just doesn't.
At all.
Here's the thing. Going back to the Hatter, they want to go back to this one as well. Wonka's extravagant, but he's lovable but hateable at the same time. Yes. This one was he's quirky, yeah, but it's not that kind of quirky. And it's not that he's got straight hair and I'm looking for the curls of Gene Wilder. It's got nothing to do with that. It just didn't work. I couldn't relate to you. I didn't know if I hated you. I didn't know if I liked you, which you're allowed to be both with Willy Wonka. I will never say differently. But
Willy Wonka always felt surreal but grounded at the same time. This just felt wacky. This felt like a character that belonged in a big purple car with a number one next to it with a dog going. This is literally a wacky racist character.
Yeah, she does look like Dick Dastardly.
Yes.
But you're not wrong. You're not wrong. It was wrong, though. It just didn't
Man
hit.
Saw Augustus Gloop go up the chocolate tube and was screaming, stop the pigeon.
Yeah, it just didn't work. It didn't work, and it just lost magic. And again, you know, both films, I can understand that some don't even appreciate the Wilder version, because the book is actually a very good book, and certain beats could be missed where on either side. But I will gladly take Gene Wilder over this one anytime. It just doesn't work.
I'm looking forward to Chalamet, though. Your number one.
My number one. Do you know what it is?
Actually, no.
Bro, they didn't even blow the bloody doors off the Italian Job.
Never seen it.
You've not seen it?
You put me off.
No, but here's the thing with the Italian Job. The Italian Job works kind of like possibly the Karate Kid. It's not that bad a movie, but it's not the Italian Job. Now, you look at the cast. At the time, I didn't too much mind Mark Wahlberg, Charlize Theron's cool, Ed Norton. But you've got this job. It's like they wanted to follow up on it and make it a sequel, but not, because it's not even in Italy. They'd done a job in Italy before. Edward Norton screws them, and now they're out for revenge. It had like a hint of Ocean's 11 to it. And then, you know, he bands the group together. You got Mos Def Blue in this part and all of that, which is very just similar to Don Cheadle. But it was just wrong. And the only link that these two films have, short of like, oh, we're going to get him back because of what he done during the Italian Job. That's literally the Italian Job in this film. There is no, the only link they have is the minis. It doesn't even have the iconic moment. You're only supposed to blow the bloody doors off. That whole tilted vehicle at the end.
There's no cliffhanger.
No, it hasn't had the ending.
Never seeing this.
It's done. It's like, it's not the Italian Job. And it's a revenge movie as opposed to a heist movie. What the hell? How the hell? No. No.
I also don't imagine that the mini chase was on par with the original one, right?
Yeah, it's not even a chase. They're just like going around in cars like with minis because that was their choice of vehicles for some reason. I can't even remember. I'm a bit blanking on it. But it wasn't the Italian Job. But you called it the Italian Job and just said, oh, we'll give you minis and then you'll accept it's the Italian Job. You didn't have the cliffhanger. The cliffhanger that was even stolen for bloody Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels. It's such an iconic moment. Like, what are you doing?
It's called a cliffhanger.
Yeah.
Literally.
Like, dead.
This is as dumb as Bob Chapek saying Disney's not about animation. It's like, know yourself.
Yeah, it was wrong. It was all kinds of wrong. It's chalk and cheese. If you wanted to band it and have people in there, that could have worked. But, you know, call it something else and people would have appreciated the film a lot more. It would have been its own shtick, you know? It wouldn't have been gone in 60 seconds. It wouldn't have been Ocean's 11. It would have been gone in 11. It would have been something, you know? But it's not the Italian Job. No, it was wrong.
Okay, let's Rushmore this then. So we had some similarities, which were Old Boy.
Yep.
Godzilla. Feel like we had more than two puns.
We also had Charlie's Rocket Factory.
Oh, that's going in.
As much as there could be other links, I'm very adamant because I believe many people will agree the Italian Job needs to go in.
Take it. More than Taxi?
Because I don't know how many have seen the original Taxi. Michael Caine's Italian Job is an absolute classic. It had people run into the cinema to see it, whereas people just thought this is a comedy. There's a lot of people who don't know what a French Taxi is. Everyone knows the Italian Job. People went back to see it for like a modern day Italian Job, and we didn't even get a cliffhanger.
Lock it in, bro. I ain't going to fight you on that. You're clearly passionate about it. Take it.
Right. Okay. So I don't have my phone. You don't need to read the message. It's just me having it so I know what to write later on. Okay. Yeah.
You got them, yeah?
Yep.
Ladies and gentlemen, the official movie Mount Rushmore of worst changes to movie remakes in no particular order is...
the ending to Old Boy.
Our second entry is...
Zilla the Dinosaur.
Godzilla. Our third entry is...
Willy Wonka in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Willy Zany Zany Wonka.
Our final entry into the movie Mount Rushmore of worst changes to movie remakes. It is...
the non-Italian Job. There it is, guys. So those films are all in. Head on over to @MovieMTRushmore. But more importantly, the person we will be retweeting, good old JT of We Love Movies, Movie Pulse for you. Check them both out. You only get one vote because it's a retweet. And there you'll be able to count the King of Kings, the best, the best, the best, the best, and the rest. All right, over to you, Nico.
So that is it for another installment of the Movie Mount Rushmore, the Top 10 show. Thank you, as always, for watching. If you do want to listen to us on audio-only format, we are available on all podcast platforms, so do check us out there. And as always, please do like the video and share, and please subscribe to the channel if you have not already, because we are available every single day. We bring you new video content every day of the week. So go and check that out on our channel if you haven't already. But that's it from us this week. We will see you next Tuesday. What are we doing next week, AJ? This is a quick
My phone's mind. Too far for me to be able to read it and confirm that.
I must have it here. I do have it here. Come on, load up. Next week, we will be doing... movies about toys. Toy movies.
Oh, that's the one. Yeah, of course it is, yeah.
Top 10 toy movies. So do check that out next week. And do let us know on socials. We're on Instagram and TikTok if you want to see some of our vertical content. Let us know what you think. Come and interact with us there. And we will see you guys next week right here on the Silver Screen Dudes. Bye, guys.